But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way as each part works properly in building itself up in love. Amen. Good morning, good people of grace.
Good morning.
So I've been away for a few weeks. I had a wonderful time and I missed you all, this body of Christ. I missed being among you and I am so rested and so ready to be back. And yet I have to say, as I was reading our gospel and reflecting on it for today, I wondered if I was missing something. I thought to myself that maybe I had like vacation brain, maybe I had been gone too long and I had missed some part of the story leading up to this gospel. Because here we are in John's version of the story. Jesus has just performed the miracle where over 5,000 people are fed with some bread and some fish, right? Yeah, okay. Over 5,000 people, right? That's what happened. Am I correct? Okay, good. Didn't miss something. That's what I thought. So why then? Why this scene in today's gospel? I don't get it. It says, those that remained after the feeding of the 5,000 noticed that Jesus had left, and so they went to find him. And when they did find him, they began to question him. Rather than saying, hey, thanks for that awesome meal you gave us yesterday, they seem almost annoyed. Annoyed, and they say, when did you come here? Like he shouldn't have left them. And then they say, what must we do to perform the works of God? To which Jesus responds, believe. To believe is the work of God. Then here is the really perplexing part for me. They say to Jesus, what sign will you give us so that we may come to believe? What works are you going to perform as a sign for us? What? I'm so confused. I mean, did it not just say that those were the same people that remained after the feeding of the 5,000? Right? So that seems to imply that they were there for the meal, correct? What sign will you give us so that we can believe? I mean, really? I imagine Jesus is like, what sign will I give you? What work will I perform? Oh, I don't know. Like, I might feed 5,000 people with like a piece of bread and a couple of fish. I mean, I might do that. Jesus must have felt so exasperated with them in that moment, kind of like the parent of a teenager who asks to take the car out at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night, and upon hearing no, says to their parent, you never let us do anything. I mean, what have you done for me? And the parent is like, you mean like feed and clothe you? You mean like give you life? You mean like that? Jesus says, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. But a teenager at least has a good excuse because they don't have a fully developed frontal lobe. But these guys are grown adults and they have literally just witnessed a miracle in community. And yet, like children, they still want more. More proof, more signs. They just want more so that they can come to believe. In our epistle today, Paul, or more likely a student of Paul, is writing to yet another new community of Jesus followers, answering questions about how to live out the life God has called them into, how to be a community of people that follow the way of Jesus. In this letter, the student of Paul writes, we must therefore grow up in every way so that we can build the community up in love. gratitude is a sign of a spiritually mature human. We all have moments of deep gratitude, and we all have moments where we lack it, where we just aren't satisfied, and even in the face of a miracle, we just want more, like little children. I want to invite you now to think back to a time in your life when you experienced deep gratitude. Not just appreciation, but deep gratitude. A time where you knew that what you had been given was essential to your life, and that without it, in fact, your life would be greatly diminished. This could be a gift of an object or a place or a person. Don't judge the moment that comes up for you. Just let the memory emerge. Do you have a memory of deep gratitude? As you reflect on that moment, how did you feel? Were you at peace? Were you excited? Were you happy? When you consider it, when was it that you knew what you had been given was essential for your life? How did you really know? What does that feeling of gratitude feel like now as you reflect on it? And did you express it? Did you express it right then or maybe later? Did you articulate your gratitude to the giver or perhaps to God? How do you express gratitude? Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, reflects on what we know as Psalm 68. He quotes the psalmist and writes, "When he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive, and he gave his people gifts." The letter goes on to say, "Those gifts that God gives are that some are apostles and some are prophets, some are teachers, some pastors, some evangelists, and that all of these gifts are given to each individual to equip the saints to build up the body of Christ, to build community that follows the way of Jesus. And the work of God, Jesus says, is to believe God has given us these gifts for the good of the whole community." Right now, I am reading a book. Actually, I'm reading like four books, but one of the books that I'm reading was given to me as a gift. The book is titled Braiding Sweet Grass. Has anyone in here read that book? It's an amazing, amazing book. Please read that. By Robin Wall Kimmerer. Robin is an indigenous woman and an ecologist. And in this beautifully crafted book, she reflects on the gifts of the earth and the wisdom that ecosystems offer us in building up community now. And she speaks about gratitude, the knowing that the gifts of the earth are essential to a good life. She tells a story about a gift that she was given. She says that an indigenous leader one time gave her a little handmade pouch. And in the pouch were three seeds. One was a corn seed, one was a bean seed, and one was a squash seed. Now, those of you that garden probably know that for us in this land, these three seeds are often called the three sisters. They are called this because when planted together, they grow better. The corn stalk grows strong. The bean can then grow up that stalk. The squash grows low to the ground, protecting the roots and soil around the other two plants. Robin says it is tempting to imagine that these three plants are deliberate in working together, and perhaps they are, she says. But the beauty of the partnership is that each plant does what it does in order to increase its own growth. But as it happens, when the individual flourishes, so does the whole. When the individual flourishes, so does the whole. Paul says, We must no longer be like little children being tossed to and fro by the winds of doctrine or by trickery, but we must each grow up in the full stature of Christ in order to build up the body of Christ to equip the saints. In order to grow up fully, we must believe that we have each been given gifts, and then we must live out those gifts to increase our own growth, and in doing so, the whole community will flourish. Robin goes on to say that the way of the three sisters plants reminds her of the greatest teaching of the indigenous people, and that teaching is this: that the most important thing each of us can know is our own unique gift and how to use it in the world. Individuality is cherished and nourished because in order for the whole to flourish, each of us has to be strong in who we are and to carry our gifts with conviction so that those gifts can be shared with others. So how then do we come to believe that we have been given gifts by God? How do we cherish and nourish those gifts within ourselves and then carry them with conviction and share them with the world? This is the work of church. This is what our epistle is saying to us today, and this is what Jesus was inviting those that witnessed the miracle of the 5,000 to do. They are inviting us into awareness and deep gratitude for the gifts God has given us, and then to share them with the world. When you reflected on your moment of deep gratitude earlier, there must have been some moment of discernment for you, when you realized you had been gifted with something essential for a good life. In that moment, you knew and you felt grateful. It is often easier to feel that when someone else gives us a gift than when we have a gift to share with others. Too often in this culture, we shy away from being grateful for the gifts we have to offer. Perhaps we have been told that to be grateful for the gifts we have to offer, to be fully aware of our talents and our treasures, is arrogant or haughty. And that to cherish or nourish our own gifts is selfish. But the corn grows a strong stalk without shame or apology. And the bean finds her way trellising up that strong stalk without shame or apology. And the squash grows in the shade of her sisters and protects the good soil underneath without shame or apology, each for their own growth, because they desire to flourish, and because they are meant to produce good fruits. God masterminded that ecosystem and these three sisters within it by design to feed animals and humans. Likewise, God masterminded this ecosystem we call church, the body of Christ. And to each person in our church ecosystem, God gave gifts that, when lived out individually, make the whole body flourish. When offered freely and with conviction, these gifts are meant to equip the saints for the building up of the body of Christ in love. We as people are about to enter into a harvest season where many of us will pick our red tomatoes and pluck our ears of corn and pick the beans off the vines and carefully gather those squash growing close to the ground, and we will be fed by them. Perhaps we tended them well, watered them, and nourished their soil, but we did not grow them. We simply let them flourish each on their own. Likewise, as we grow as a community of faith here at Grace, each of us has been given gifts to offer. God gave us these gifts as individual members of the ecosystem for our own flourishing and for the good of the whole. So any pride we feel, any sense of accomplishment we might have as we offer these gifts up to the community, is not arrogant or haughty. That gratitude is simply our deep believing that we have indeed been given gifts. And our deep believing is the work of God, and the fruit of the work of God is our own flourishing and the flourishing of the whole. the only risk of arrogance is when we forget. When we forget to give thanks to God, or we think our gift is not enough, and like children, we demand more. Because while we may have tended these gifts, nourished them, and flourished in them, we did not create them any more than we created the ear of corn. During the season of harvest, as we gather the fruits of the earth, we are being invited to harvest all that God has planted here at Grace. Perhaps you are a teacher or a pastor, evangelist, or have a prophetic voice. Like the three sisters in the garden, we have been planted together for a purpose too, to bear good fruit for the building up of the kingdom of God. And like the three sisters, we grow better when planted together. Our work is to discern these gifts, to come to know what God has planted within us that needs our tending in order to grow. And then, as Jesus says, our work is to believe. To believe that these gifts God has given us are essential for a good life, essential gifts for equipping the saints, and then with gratitude to stand strong in our gifts, offering them up with conviction. As I stand here and look out, I imagine you in this community of grace like a beautiful and robust garden. Some of you are mighty stalks of corn. Some of you are trellising vines of beans. Some of you grounded, sprawling squash. Some prophets, some teachers, some pastors, some evangelists. And I believe, in fact, I know that each of you are essential. Essential to building up this sacred of body of Christ in love. And I promise to nourish each of you as you grow. And for each of you, I am grateful to God. Thank you for planting yourself here and for growing up, for flourishing in the full stature of Christ, for the flourishing of the whole body. Amen.